All right, the rest of our service is going to be this. I started reading 1 Corinthians just this past season and into 1 and 2 Corinthians, and it says this in 2 Corinthians 10, if you have anything to boast upon it in the Lord. And I really believe testimonies so open up so much, as it says in Revelations, that testimonies open up a spirit of prophecy. Anybody want to, and prophecy means encouragement, exhortation. Anybody want that in their life or in their family life? All right, five of you are really excited about receiving encouragement and exhortation into your family. How many of you really want encouragement? Man, well, see, that's what testimony does. I want to ask you a rhetorical question, and you answer it in your heart. Do you complain more or are you thankful more? And see if we, and most of us, if not all of us, answered in our heart of hearts, we complain more. So what does that get us in our family? It gets us depression, isolation. Well, as I was praying and thinking about what this Sunday was to be about, was testimonies of thankfulness of what the Lord does and what He's done in 2011 in our lives. See, I'm going after to create a culture of the kingdom of God, which is about thankfulness. You see, this Sunday's going to have an effect on this house for 2012. And if you'll really be intentional about being thankful from your heart and not mumble and complain about all the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and start really being thankful, it's time to toast. It's going to be a lot of toasting going on New Year's Eve. You get to do a greater toast today to release something in the spirit realm of toasting and boasting the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? Yeah. Hannah, come on up here. Hannah, remember I asked you what to do this. She gets all fearful. I'm not going to make you share a testimony yet. She's going to be the mic runner because I want these recorded. Hopefully Jason's got it set up to record. Because if you do hit that little speed bump on January 5th, go back and listen to your testimony that you shared on December the 18th. Why don't you show them your finger? She's picking her nose, and she ran into the wall and the door and just, sorry. That was good, though, wasn't it? I did tell her that on Facebook, and a lot of people like that on Facebook. But anyway. All right, so who wants to start first? Who's got that first testimony? Okay, you see his hand back there? Raise your arm again.
There you go. Now take it to him.
As some of you know, I had a stroke in June, and it kind of debilitated me a little bit. I'm still got a little residual action from that, but as a background for me, a drummer, I've been playing since 62, and it was a major part of my life. And having been unemployed as long as I have, there was nothing else for me to say about myself. You know, men typically are defined. And I say typically, so, you know, don't get the emails and the phone calls ready to start dialing. Men are typically defined by what they do, their job, their employment. Women are typically defined by their home and how it's kept. And again, those are generalities, okay? And so you meet a man, you walk up and you say, hi, how are you? My name is Bob, you're Gene. What do you do? Well, okay, I work at da-da-da-da. And that's the beginning of the conversation. That's kind of, men define themselves that way. So I had become a worship drummer. That's how I defined myself. And when I was unable to play, I didn't even have that. And I realized God doesn't define me as a worship drummer. He defines me as His child. And I am relevant and have value not because I've got chops on the kit or because I have a job that makes $100,000 a year. I'm valuable to the Father because I'm His child and I love Him. And that's all it needs to be. And he's been showing me through all of this. That's all I need to have. I don't have to be strong. I don't have to be fluent in speech. I don't have to be any of these other things except realizing my place as his child. And I'm his favorite, along with everybody else, but I'm his favorite. And it's neat how he can do that. So it started off being something of damage, but then I began to realize it was a valuable thing to me. And it's been very good for me. And I'm still here. I could have died, but I didn't. So I'm thankful for that. And then I'm thankful for the realization of the reality of what is truly my life and where my value is in him.
Wow. There's just so many things that the Lord has done in my life this year. And I can really relate to this gentleman. Gene. I can really relate to Gene, to what he was saying, because I too have, the Lord has, he put me in a situation very similar to Gene's, where I was just set apart called to study his word and to spend time with him. And I learned what it meant and what it means to be intimate with him. And it's just been an awesome, awesome journey. And he's done so many things, just brought me through so many good things, and shown me so many good things in my life, and shown how good he is. And he's brought me to this awesome church and fellowship, and he's healed me. He healed me from a blood disease. I mean, there's just so many things that he's done. And I do want to say, the past probably month, the evil one has really come against me, and just things have happened that he's trying to tear me down. But I will not let him do that. I will not let him do that. I just kind of missed a couple of weeks of church and you know, kind of got out of fellowship, I guess, as much with him. And so I'm so thankful to be able to share the good things that he's done and the good things that he's going to do. Thank you.
Next. Well, I was just sitting here thinking, and I guess I've had a pretty big year. As a child, I had some tragedy. When I was 7 years old, I was carrying a carton of Pepsi bottles. It was kids, when we were kids, they used to come in bottles, not cans. And I was trying to be like my big brothers and carry, you know, this heavy item, and I got to the top of the front porch steps and dropped them, and they shattered, and I severed the artery in my left wrist. Needless to say, it was a pretty awful time. And for years, I would have visions of things happening to me, like cutting my wrist accidentally with a knife when I was cooking, or just recently, I was lying in bed thinking about my day. I thought, well, I have to go do this and go do that. And suddenly this vision of me falling came into my mind. And I thought, you know, what is this? I thought we dealt with this, devil. And, you know, the Lord said, you know, trust in me, put this in my hands too. And it, you know, it all stems back to that. And it's just so awesome to know that, you know, something that happened so long ago, the Lord can take it away at any time. And then also, when I was 12, I was molested by my piano teacher. And in July, when I was here for church one Sunday morning, and the Lord literally knocked me down, and I ended up on my behind. And and because I was saying, you know, Lord, I want to go deeper with you. And then he would, you know, he would try to work on me, and I'd say, but not here. But he did it anyway. And then I went and spent an afternoon with a dear friend, and she said, well, what do you think that was all about? And I, and Cindy, I don't know if some of you may know her, Cindy Holter. She's a get-down-to-business kind of gal. And she said, well, you know, let's deal with this. And so 2 days later, I was at her house getting deliverance from this thing that I've been hauling around for 42 years. And so it's just been incredible.
Most of you know what went on with Brooklyn in this last week, but just to give a little recap, and Brooklyn has something that she's going to read too from Psalms 91. Last Wednesday, she started to just have flu-like symptoms and come home from school with a fever and rash and just not feeling very well. And the first day that I know that God was just telling me something, Thursday morning, I was just going to go to work and let her sleep it off at home like I would normally. You know, I mean, you got to be pretty ill for me to take off work and go to the doctor. And she didn't look that bad. But when I was leaving, I just thought, you know, it just seems like something else is going on. I don't know what it is. So I actually went in and told my boss. I said, there's just something different, and I'm not sure what it is, but I really feel like I need to go home and take her to the doctor. Is there just happen to be, you know, a sub that doesn't have anything to do? Because I knew I wouldn't be able to get a sub. And he goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, a sub got called in this morning, and we don't have any place to put her. So I was like, okay, well, then that's God, you know, provision right there. So it really started that very first day. And so she started, went to the doctor on that Thursday. And between then and Saturday, things progressed. But the doctor called on Friday night. At like 9:30, we were actually at our venue, sitting down having dinner, and she said I couldn't get any rest. I felt like I think that she has toxic shock syndrome, and I really think you need to go to the doctor. Need to go to the hospital. Well, that doctor ended up actually sending us home, telling us that there was 0% chance she had toxic shock. So we went home, and the next morning the pediatrician called me again and asked some questions and said, nope, we're not leaving this be. I feel very sure that we need to get you in the hospital. So she followed up and really just pressed through. I mean, and how many of our doctors really do that for us a lot of times? And so we went in on Saturday to the hospital, and immediately they were swinging into action. I mean, the infectious disease doctor was there. They were getting her on IVs, which took over an hour, but she was already getting dehydrated. So really, without us really understanding the magnitude of anything, her kidneys started to fail, her blood pressure was dropping, her heart rate increased, her liver was slowing down. So she became, what do you call it when you're all yellow? Jaundice. Her platelets were dropping, her hemoglobin was dropping for no, you know, nothing, she wasn't bleeding or anything, but all these things were happening, and the doctors all came in and said, there's no doubt she has toxic shock syndrome, and, you know, we're going to go with antibiotics. But you have to understand that normally we have to get very drastic to save someone's life from this. I mean, shock in the heart, you know, kidney dialysis, all kinds of things. And they even called the ICU people up to look at her, which I was kind of like, well, this is weird, you know. Over and over again, the doctors kept saying, you know, this is really kind of a miracle that she's responding to the antibiotics and so on and so forth. But we actually ended up coming home on Tuesday, I guess. And even my OBGYN or Hearst called and said, you know, I've only treated two patients that have toxic shock, and I wasn't going to tell you this at the beginning, but neither one of them survived. And, I mean, those kind of testimonies were going on over and over and over again. So I talked to the pediatrician because she kept calling, and I said, you know, there's several doctors here that think you probably saved her life. And she said, I didn't do anything. She said, God woke me up out of my bed and gave me a burden for her. And I wasn't going to rest until she was where she needed to be. And she said, but this was a God thing. And so anyway, I had a couple people give her the same word. And we read it in the Message Bible because it's just really, you know, that's a little bit easier to understand. And we went into the pediatrician, what was it, Monday? I guess, no, Wednesday, I don't know, I've lost track of time. Anyway, we went back to the doctor to get the final blood work done because her hemoglobin had not come up. And it actually has come up. Everything's perfectly fine as of Friday. But she said, I was talking to my daughter. I was tucking my daughter in to go to bed. And I felt like a verse came to my mind. Now, keep in mind, I've never had a conversation about God with this lady. I didn't even know if she was a Christian or not. And she said, and the verse, I can't remember it exactly, but it has something to do with God has an intention for your life and he's going to prosper you. And I mean, she started saying this verse by memory, you know, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool because that's not normally what you hear, you know. So anyway, there was a lot of things, a lot of people that God put in place to provide protection where there may have been a different intent. So Brooklyn's going to read this passage.
Okay, Psalms 91, it says, you who sit in the high, God's presence, spend the night in, how do you say this, Mom? Shaddai's shadow, says this, God, you're my refuge, I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right, he rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing. Not wild wolves in the night. Not flying arrows in the day. Not disease that prowls through the darkness. Not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around you, drop the flies right and left. No harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched. Watch it from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpse. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation.
Well, I'm going to stand up here. I just think I was looking around the room this morning and, you know, it's like, I feel like it needs to be like Thanksgiving, you know, because it's like, I'm just being so thankful for, I was looking at the different families and individuals and just the relationships and all that are here and just so thankful for, where God has us right now. And I mean, the last week was very, very crazy. And, you know, it's just pretty cool, the way that God works and that passage that, Brooklyn just read. It's like, you know, God turned it around and there's actually a testimony where the enemy meant for there to be harm. And so it's like, ha, take that. So, you know, and I mean, there's so many people that that did tell us in the doctors. At one point when I was up there and Leslie had gone home, You know, the doctor came in and he said, you came in a very critical state. And we didn't really know it. I mean, really, that where it was. It was like, really? All this is, I mean, and, but he said, you know, you could have gone one of two ways. And he says, you know, you're very fortunate. He called it fortunate, you know. It's like, oh, well, whatever. But, you know, that your body, you know, went this direction. And, of course, you know, we know it's all the prayers of all the people. And, you know, one night I went up there, I guess it was Sunday night, I had gone up there. And, you know, there's like, I don't know, there's like 12 teenagers from her small group that, you know, that she goes to. And, you know, it's like they're all gathered around her and just, you know, they prayed for her. And it's just really, really cool. And I'm very thankful for where God has us right now. Thankful for all of you guys, even the ones that I may not know as well as others. I mean, God has us all here together for a purpose. So, yeah.
Wow, that one's a hard one to follow. That just made me cry. when you had mentioned last week about testimony, I was thinking of things that had happened back in the past. And so you said 2011, it's like, oh. And then I realized how much just in 2011 God has done in my life. And the main thing is hope bringing me here and just how he... I mean, there's too much to say, but one of the big things is going to the class of the prophetic and trusting that I can hear God speak to me and how much that means. And I can think back in my life at different times that God did speak to me, and I realized it was him, but it was kind of momentous ones. And then I just felt like, you know, it wouldn't happen again for several years, just like I was going to stop at three girls. You know, David and I, we had three girls. So that was going to be the end. And God spoke to me, you know, and I had kind of trusted him with the three girls. They came 2 years apart. And I was kind of through trusting him, you know, with the amount of kids I had at the time. But God spoke to me, I have a son planned for you. And I talked to my husband, and he said, yeah, I think, you know, you're right. And so we didn't, you know, do anything about that. And then about a year and a half later, Adam came. And just to think, if I hadn't listened to God then. But as far as listening to him daily, I learned that in the class of the prophetic. When it happens again, I just recommend that all of you come in. And one of the examples is my daughter Ginger here. This is her first time. She's my second daughter, and she has four boys. And they were going to try again for another one, and nothing happened, and she needed to get on some medicine that she couldn't get pregnant with. So she kind of, well, this is it. We're going to stop trying. And just right before she was going to go to her OBGYN, she ended up being pregnant. But after just a few weeks, she began to cramp. She was at work. She's an L&D nurse. And knows the signs, and just cramp and bleed, and we thought she was going to have a miscarriage. And I just began to pray. Jackie was praying, and during that prayer, and I've God's put on my heart to be an intercessor for years. And I would just, you know, instead of, like Mike says, God gives you the grace to pray about something, I always call it a burden, because I felt weighed down. And you know, just solemn, and I've got the happy intercessor now, and I know you can be a joyful. I'm learning. Oh yeah, you know, I don't have to be solemn, and you know, well, I'm carrying this burden to pray. You know, and I was praying for her, and God just spoke to me. She's gonna be all right, and it's gonna be a girl. And she has four boys, and she, you know, each, you know, after the first boy, she was wanting a girl. And I just, the assurance that I knew it was him, and I could be brave enough to tell other people. And to tell her, you know, this baby's going to be all right. You're 29, about 29 weeks pregnant now. And just, her name's going to be, is Gracie already. Great. And just the grace of that, and to hear God's voice and hope, I just, the joy. And then my friend Jackie, you know, we've known for 30, how old are you? Sorry, like 34 years. Sorry. Right when she was 3 months old, we met. But just to see what God has done in Jackie's life is a miracle, because she was one of my intercessor projects for years. But God is so good. And to know that he gives us the grace to pray for things and not a burden.
Well, in 2011, I have a lot of things that happened to me before, but I was trying to think. And in 2011, I had a relationship with Jesus. I've always known Jesus was my Savior, and I loved him. But I never had a relationship with God the Father. I never had a relationship with my daddy, who raised me. I never had that relationship. And so in 2011, I met God as my dad. And I'm looking forward to getting to know him even better and trusting in him more with my life. So in 2011, that's what I found. I have more revelation of God the Daddy. And so I'm just very thankful for that.
Next.
What? All right. I have a quick word, and then I have a praise for 2011. Some of you, I think, and I know for me, I just got this picture of a clean paintbrush that God was holding. But it hasn't always been clean. You know, when you got to clean a paintbrush, the way I've always cleaned a paintbrush is hot water in the sink, you're pressing it down, and it takes a long time. And it's not easy on the paintbrush. The bristles come out and gets kind of frayed. But you're a brand new paintbrush. And it's been a season. 2011 may have been a season for you where the paint was coming out of the paintbrush. The old paint was leaving the paintbrush. But you've got a new season coming where God's about to dip a brand new paintbrush into the paint. He's going to use you to paint. Okay? So I'm going to say this. Everyone's thinking it, but it's good not to be in prison for Christmas. And Casey's like, wait, what? I go to your small group. You were what? And the other one is, I got a job this week. So, yeah. In prison, I made 12 cents an hour. I'll be making more than that at my new job. So, praise God.
This morning when I got up, I was like, Lord, just, you know, what do you want to do? And he gave me this scripture, and I've always professed to be a very glass half full kind of guy, because I always feel like there's something new and better coming along. But this isn't just for me today. I know that this is for everybody here, and maybe for more for some of you than others, but in Jeremiah 29:11, this is God literally talking to his children. And so we are his children. And he says, you know, and Mike and I've been talking, and he said, you know, we need to find scripture that we can anchor on. And you need to literally like put it on the mirror when you're getting ready and you're doing your hair or your face in the morning, so that you can really reinforce that, the voice of God over you in your life. And so for this one, I think this is one we need to put on our mirrors. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for chaos, to give you a good future and a hope. Then you will call upon my name and come and spend time with me, and we shall be friends. So, yeah. Just let that sink in.
It's so funny because I've been over here and I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not going to raise my hand. But it's just so typical me/enemy, you know, because in this year, well, before, I was such a timid, scared person. I never in my life would have imagined that I would be reaching out to people, giving them love from God. I never thought in a million years would I ever have a best friend, wherever she is, Celia, and go, you know, touch the untouchable, the girls that think that they're unwanted. I never would have thought in a million years would I ever do something like that, because who am I? You know, I've always been in the background, and I like that. I like to be in the background, and so even right now, I'm like, I'm not going to raise my hand. But no, because that's not who I have. The Lord has showed me who I am. He showed me that I am a mighty warrior, and that He has put in me a love for people that I never knew was there, you know, never knew it was there. And I'm just so thankful. Again, I feel like it's Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful that I have a pastor that pushes me and calls me up to be better. And that's what I'm hoping for 2012, that, you know, the Lord will not only give me that love, but He'll give me a little bit of that to where I can push in love, you know, and call people up, because I've been there. I've been the timid one. I've been the quiet one. I've been the fearful one. I've been there, and the Lord has showed me I don't have to stay there. And so I just am so thankful for that.
The only reason I raised my hand was because of what she just said. So, when Chris and I first met, for those of you that don't know, he's got 3 children from his first marriage, and he told me, he said from the get-go, Taylor, his oldest daughter, was going to be the hardest one for her to accept me. And we've been married 7 years now, and he was right. She was the toughest one. But just in the last few months, I've been praying for her and praying for God to put someone in her life that could really speak love and truth to her. And there's a group of ladies that are really good friends of mine. And that's who God has put in her life. And her children, my grandchildren, are growing up with my kids. You know, they're the same age. And it's just a really cool dynamic of what He's doing. You know, but she'll just pick up the phone and call me now and just talk to me. And so I'm just really, really thankful for that. So if you know, if there's any relationship out there that is strained or anything like that, don't give up, because it's amazing what God can do.
I wasn't going to say anything either. I got the mic right on my lip. Where are you, Jason? Anyway. I just wanted to speak of the faithfulness of God. That I know everybody's walking through stuff in their life, and we'll walk through things in their life in the future, but God is so faithful to be with us, and that's really all I have to say.
Okay, I don't really like talking in the mic, and I need to go ahead and do this now, because the longer I wait, the more it builds up in my chest, and I'm going to just sit here and bawl the whole time if I waited any longer. But I think one thing, I kind of have a few. I've been thinking about it the last 3 days and have this whole list, but I'm going to make it quick. Sorry. And so the first thing, the biggest, is just God's forgiveness. Like, I'm just going to breathe. I was raised with my mom being an amazing Christian. And in church, anyways, And I've always known God forgave me. I always knew that he died on the cross. I always knew the truth. And sometimes, for the past few years, I haven't been going to church or anything like that. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to sin really big to realize, like, what that meant on the cross. And I don't recommend doing it because it stinks in a lot of ways. But I've been reminded of that the last week. And so that's what I'm most thankful for. And the next thing is others' forgiveness and how gracious people have been to me and just my family, my husband, my kids. And I don't deserve any of it. But I'm so, so happy I have it. And the third thing is this church. It's crazy. I was telling Pastor Mike a few days ago that when we came for the baby dedication, that was the only time I planned on coming here. I knew that, and nothing against anything, but, okay, wait, let me rephrase that. Like, driving here, because it's such a far drive, we live in Wiley, and my husband works at the Harley shop that's two blocks up, so 6 days a week, he drives all the way out here, and it's a drive he hates, and so Michael's like, I can't make that drive 7 days a week. I'm sorry. Like, I need one day to not have to drive all the way to Carrollton. And I was like, I understand. You know, we'll find a church closer to home. But that first Sunday, Mike said a word to my Michael, and it kind of gave me just a glimpse of hope that, like, we could be that, you know, godly couple or, you know, family like that, because I kind of given up on that. And so I was talking to Adam afterwards, and I was just like, I have to go back. Like, there's just this, you know, you want more type thing. And Michael had no problem with, you know, driving on me, you know, making the drive, and wanted to, you know, start calling this our church. And it's been a process. I think it's been 6 weeks or so, maybe. And every week it's something different that he's showing me. And just everyone's kindness here is, like, amazing. And the words that people share with us. And I just want to say, like, a few Sundays, Anne came up to me, and she was saying that that God wanted to fill me up with joy. And he did that 3 days ago. And it's a joy I've never felt. And I am not letting that go ever. And then Mike, too, last Sunday said that, you know, those of y'all who were here about, you know, just my depression and how I was from the pits of hell, and he's taken that away too, and not just taken it away, but oh my gosh, like, replaced it with the most amazing, like, I would have never even pictured it. And so anyways, that's what I'm thankful for, and just this church and everyone. Okay.
So these verses are out of Lamentations, which doesn't seem to be the most joyful book, but there are some happy things in it. It starts with, "Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. But this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him." And this year I have learned that God is good every day. And he has new goodness for us every day. And my life is on a path that I never could have foreseen or imagined. I've prayed this whole year for joy and for just God to fill me up, no matter my circumstance. And he is so faithful to do that. I have joy. And it's a choice to continue in joy, because it's not always happiness. Because happiness is based on circumstance. Joy is based on the Lord. And so there are days where I have to choose joy, and it's not easy. But when I do, it's amazing, because you choose joy, and then God brings circumstances that encourage your joy. And he brings people in your life who bless you and increase your joy. And he has just been so faithful to bless me and to increase my joy when I choose it, and to honor those choices. And he's just so faithful.
All right. If you didn't get a chance to do it, I may have one or two more. We'll see. But I want to give time. And if you didn't get to do it today, write it down, because I think it'd be cool to do services like this two or three times a year. I think it would really change our mindset of being thankful, because we do listen to a lot of bad news and bad reports in our brains and our hearts. And I think the church, we've gotten away from having times and moments like this. I don't care if you're a church of 5,000. We ought to be busting out tables and taking time to be thankful, because it really does do something in our hearts, and it creates a culture. You keep hearing me say that word. There's things that I'm praying for the culture of Hope Fellowship, and one of them is that we'll be thankful people.